Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, you got college football, you've got pro football, you've got high school football, so much going on, baseball playoffs heating up, pro football, I just mentioned pro football, but it kicked off last night with a Seattle win over the Packers. So much to talk about yet again.
Yeah, we do. We have a great show on this Friday. With the NFL back, there's always not just the games, but the intrigue within the league with owners. It seems that in pro sports now, the individual players and coaches at times are taking back seats to the owners. Of course, one of the big headlines in the NFL, of course, is Jim Irsay, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, our home state team. And of course, they have a huge game against the Denver Broncos. And I say huge. It's only the first game of the season, folks. And I understand that. We understand that at the Coach K and Joe Show. But it's got the intrigue of former Indianapolis Colts great Peyton Manning, of course, an outstanding quarterback, one of the greatest of all time, playing in Denver. For one of the great quarterbacks of all time, and John Elway got to the Super Bowl last year after the Colts basically had to flip the coin. Jim Irsay, let's face it, and say goodbye to Peyton, which they got a great one in Andrew Luck. But here we are, Joe, 3 years later. Think about this. 3 years later, the Colts, of course, are on a great track with Andrew Luck, although different positions on that team are really, really spotty. And Peyton Manning, neck injury and surgery and all, is still going strong for the Denver Broncos, and you know was in a year, and poised to take the Broncos back again. So the NFL's back. Jim Irsay, of course, Joe, as you've read and people know, the NFL came down and they said, listen, 6-game suspension, $500,000 fine. Now, Jim Irsay is worth $1.8 billion. So is writing a $500,000 check a tough thing? Is sitting at home watching 6 games as an owner a tough thing? You know, we'll talk about that a little bit on today's show. I don't know what the answer is. Some people are saying he shouldn't have been fined what he was fined, Joe, because even though driving around in the car and he was taking prescription pills, they were all he had prescriptions. They were prescribed medicines. He was legally had with him. He's got a problem. There's no doubt about it. He's addicted to certain medicines, but they were legally prescribed. You know, some people are saying the NFL is too hard on him, that he shouldn't have had that. And then on the other side, Joe, people are saying $500,000, 6-game suspension for an owner. What's that do? So he sits at home in his underwear or his boxers, eats a little popcorn, pops a pill, and watches the game. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, he deserves what he got. I mean, you know, everyone's got to play by the rules, and you know, he's got a suspension, and that's just such. You know, it is a suspension, and no, Jimmy Irsay is suspended, but it's not like it was Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck being suspended would really affect the team, and this will be a non-factor as far as the team goes, I feel.
Yeah, and Joe, you hit it right on the head. That's what a lot of people are on one side of the coin are saying. Well, what does this do? How does this affect a billion-dollar owner? So what if he gets suspended 6 games? How does it hurt the team? I know they were talking on some of the other talk show radios about they should have suspended him like 30% of the revenue of the Colts over this, which I think is absurd. But that's just one of the things going on as the NFL is back. Of course, Joe mentioned at the top of the show the Packers and the Seahawks started things off. I was shocked at the Packers with one of the great quarterbacks in the league right now in Aaron Rodgers, literally did not challenge Richard Sherman on the field. Joe, are you serious? Are you telling me that you have one of the top quarterbacks in the league, a really good receiving corps, and you don't even attempt a pass to Richard Sherman's side in the game?
Yeah, it might be going a little overboard. You got to challenge him, you know. Otherwise, you get very predictable. And one thing you don't want to be when you're calling plays for a football team is to be that predictable. I mean, you might be able to be very predictable in high school, college, not so much, but I would think NFL, not at all. You know, they're all professionals, and you got to challenge him some. You got to throw some balls his way.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're taking away half the core or half the field. In football terms, you're taking away half the field that you can work on. And I don't get it. You know, Richard Sherman is tough. There's no doubt about it. He showed it in the big games. He showed it all last year. But folks, every week, every game, we're going to have Mike Miller joining the show. We're excited to have Mike. If you follow him on Twitter, at Mike Miller TH, at Mike Miller TH, I mean, seriously, good stuff all the time out of him. He'll become, I think, HT, I'm sorry, Mike Miller HT. He'll be on talking to us about IU and what else is going on up in Bloomington. Of course, basketball's right around the corner as well. So we've got them coming up at the top of the second hour. Oh, this guy's just wonderful. Now he's back on the sidelines in high school football. I think he's defensive line coach, Bill Somm. He's now at Brebeuf Jesuit, but he's still our Indy High School contributor and our NCAA man, obviously a former director at the NCAA. He'll be on at the top of the second hour, and we'll get some updates on Indy football. And it's been wild up there, folks. Cathedral, always ranked nationally, starts out 0-2. Warren Central, one of the best teams in the country. Ben Davis flexing its football muscles. You know, that used to be a dynasty, came down a little bit. We're stuck in the southern part of the state where our show is out of. You people out there listening all over the internet world, all over this earth, our show is out of the southern part of Indiana, Evansville, Jasper area. Football's off and running here as well. Obviously, we're talking pro football. We're talking college football. IU, Purdue, Notre Dame, all win in their first weekend. IU's off this weekend. The Irish Tangle in the last contracted game with Michigan this weekend. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. But, Joe, coming back to you before you start to work on Mike, what Mike may be with us now, or Don Schultz calling in. Joe, give us a little report. We had the big game. We talked about it last weekend. Jasper at Southridge. Kurt Cooksell was on. Which way is it going to go? We don't know which way it's going to go. Southridge may be the last good team that Jasper had on their schedule. Joe, it was a fizzle at Raider Field. Jasper dominated.
Well, you know, Ben Moore, the running back for Jasper, had over 200 yards in the first half. For those of you that know who Mike Berger is, he resembles Mike Berger a lot. He's just so smart. Just has a humongous heart and did a great job. You know, Nolan Aaron's a quarterback, did a great job hitting his receivers. But Nick Eckert's defense, you know, they really stepped up and they shut down Connor Craig. And there aren't going to be many people this year shut down Connor Craig. And the difference was, I felt too, was there the Southridge has a lot of guys that go both ways. Jasper doesn't. And Jasper just you know, that affected the game somewhat as well. But you know, early on, though, Jasper showed their dominance even before the fatigue factor might have started weighing in a little bit. And it was a great night to be a Wildcat. And I know I was getting texts from Don Schultz asking if I was still worried. I was feeling a little bit better by that time. So it was a great night to be a Wildcat. Southridge has nothing to be ashamed of. They're going to win a lot of games this year. They've got a great team too.
Well, it was really interesting, and I said before the game, I said on air last week that I wondered if Southridge would be able to hold up from the standpoint of the line. I knew they had lost a lot of lineman last year to graduation. I knew Jasper was big, not just skilled in the talent, the skill positions, quarterback, running back, receivers, Austin Aulis, and so many others, but I knew Jasper had good, solid, big, strong lines. And I thought that would be the difference. And obviously, when you can open holes, when you can knock people down, when you can close holes, it makes a big difference. And Jasper obviously did that. So to Tony Ahrens, Nick Eckert, Jeff Mock and the group, congratulations. It's going to be tough for them to be beaten the rest of the way through this regular season. Here's the big thing, folks, as a coach. When you know you're going to play a stretch of games that you should win, and there are those times, and you never think you're going to win 100% of the time or 100% think you're going to win the game, there's always that shadow. A lot of high school games going on tonight. Friday football in the Evansville area. Castle at Wrights. That's always a great rivalry. Castle 1-1, Wrights 2-0. Central is at Boise. Central 1-0. They had a debacle in their first game that they never got to play. They went down for some kind of tournament type setup down in Kentucky the first week of the high school football season, and they couldn't even play the game. Storms hit. The other team never showed up to the field. They never had a chance to get the game in. They just sat there for 3 hours, did nothing. But they're off to a 1-0 start. They play Boise. Modern Day at Harrison. Believe it or not, folks, if you're familiar with Southern Indiana football, the Harrison Warriors are 2-0. 2-0 for the first time in many, many years. Now, their first two games weren't against knockover teams. One was to Modern Day, which is Modern Day again. They're tough. They're a bulldozer. 2-0 at Harrison, 2-0. And then Memorial 0-2 plays North 0-2. So you have the battle of the unbeatens, Harrison and Modern Day, and the battle of the beatens in Evansville Memorial and North. Joe, who does Jasper got on Friday? Or
Jasper will be taking on Boonville. I think Boonville sits at 1-1. They beat Washington, who a lot of people are going to beat. I'm sorry, Washington people, but they're just not very strong, and they have very few numbers out. And then they got beat by Vincennes in a game that was close till about halftime, and then Vincennes exploded for a bunch of touchdowns. So they've got Boonville tonight. So for first home game, the last home opener for Reed Milligan, and, you know, we'll be excited, and we'll be out there tailgating about 5:30.
Well, have a good time, and remember, it's high school football, so if you're tailgating, tailgate the right way and watch your words and your thoughts. Hey, folks, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we got what's hot, what's not with Don Schultheis. And we want to remind people that today's guests on the coaches line are courtesy of Lantern Road Capital Partners, financial partners to help you grow your business. You can contact Lantern Road Capital Partners at 317-576-7500.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Put all the money in and let it roll again. When you're hot, you're hot.
And we're back with Who's Hot, Who's Not. Folks, I'm sorry if I was coming across a little garbled. Our engineers, our producer, Joe Milliken, was trying to let me know, but sometimes I don't get the text messages coming at me when I'm on the air, so I apologize for that. Joe, in the future, you might want to just email me. I do get the emails, but the text messages sometimes don't come across. We've got What's Hot, What's Not with Don Schulteis. Don, welcome to the Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. Coach, it's a great day, great Friday, TGIF, and should be a great weekend, so I'm glad to be back. Well, you know, we spent a lot of time together here the last few days, you and I, and then our brother Ed took a road trip to Chicago to watch the Cubs at Wrigley. Of course, the Brewers are fizzling. There is no foam in that cup of beer. The brew crew is falling apart, but we had a great time, Don, and made it back just in time for Who's Hot and Who's Not. No doubt about it. We had great weather up at Wrigley, and for your listeners that have never had the opportunity to watch baseball at Wrigley Field, it is a treat. And things are going to change there over the next couple of years as they're going to put in $400 or $500 million of renovations to that field. So it's not going to be quite the same. It might be better in some ways. But I'll tell you, it takes you back to watching baseball the way it was back in the day, Coach. Certainly a lot of fun. Let's get with it. What do we got? Who's hot? Who's not? All right, well, it's U.S. Open Finals weekend out in New York City. A little bit of tennis to start it off. On the hot side, Coach, Serena Williams, who is playing in the semifinal match today, is on a roll at the U.S. Open Tennis Tournament in New York. She has won her 19th straight match on Wednesday by winning in the quarterfinals and is playing today in the semifinals with a shot to go back and defend her title that she won the last 2 years. In fact, if she can get there and defend it, she will have three U.S. Open tennis tournament titles in a row. Coach, this has not been done since the beautiful Chris Everett did it back in 1975 to 1978, where she won four in a row. So, Serena Williams, you are hot. And you know what, Don? Tennis is always better. Women's tennis is always good. It's kind of like Tiger Woods in golf. When Serena is playing well, women's tennis just seems to be a little bit better. Yeah, just as an aside, Serena's been sporting some real fashionable tennis outfits. She had a pink leopard skin uniform on the other day to play in her quarterfinal match and is really getting the attention of the media. And the Williams sisters have turned tennis fashion on its head since they got into it several years ago. So they're always a good focus for the game of tennis as we've been through a period here where it just doesn't seem as hot as it used to be, Coach, no pun intended. But on the not side, I'm going to bring up the Indiana Fever, who made my hot list couple of weeks ago. The Fever, who got into the Eastern Conference Finals, started the week with a win. It looked like they were going to Chicago to take care of business and get into the WNBA Finals for the second time in 3 years after winning it in 2012. Well, the Sky beat them in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals in double overtime, 86-84, and then they brought it home. They had home court advantage, Coach, on Wednesday night. It looked like the Fever could take care of business, but, Coach, they didn't get it done. They got beat. I don't know if the air came out of their tires on Monday night when they lost the double overtime because they had some opportunities to secure that victory, but they lost 75-62. It was bittersweet because head coach Lynn Dunn finished her career. That was her last game on Wednesday, and everybody was hoping that she would get back to the finals and maybe even win it again as she did in 2012, but that was not in the cards our head coach-elect, Stephanie White, will be taking over next year. But the Indiana Fever, you're not hot this week. Well, if they're not hot, that means somebody's got to be hot. What we got next? All right. Louisville head coach, football head coach, Bobby Petrino. As you know, he used to coach Louisville several years ago, went on to Arkansas, got into a little hot water, coach. But he rejoined the Louisville Cardinals after their head coach departed to move on to Texas. He's happy, and he's got the Cardinals rolling. The reason he's on my list this week, coach, did you know that after his victory over the Miami Hurricanes last weekend in the 31-13 3, I guess it was Monday night, he has won 10 straight season openers as a head coach. It's pretty impressive, coach. You can win 10 straight season openers, and you, as a coach, knows, boy, it's always good to get that first game under your belt. Louisville football head coach Bobby Petrino is hot. I can't wait to hear who's not. I think I know. Jimmy Irsay, coach, that you brought up just a few minutes ago. As we have read, he's been suspended as a result of his trouble with illegal substances. He is suspended for 6 games. He's fined $500,000 by the NFL. He did a plea bargain and has settled that out. I think he's in a substance abuse program to hopefully get himself cleaned up and that kind of thing. We wish him luck. But starting at 5 p.m. on this past Wednesday, he was forced to vacate the building at the Colts headquarters on 56th Street here in Indianapolis and have no communication with the franchise personnel, including his 3 daughters who hold the positions of vice chairwomen of the franchise, and they will be controlling it in his absence over the next 6 weeks. Irsay has never missed a game in the 30 years that the Colts have been an Indy, coach. He moved with the franchise, served as the GM under his father, has never missed a game, home or away, over that 30 years. But he will be now, coach. Hopefully he'll take this time to get himself straightened out. But this week, the fine and suspension, he is not hot. Don, when you think about Jim Irsay, how, I mean, the prescriptions he had were prescribed. I mean, I know, I understand that. Was, in your mind, the $500,000, the 6-game suspension, too light, too much? Does it really have any effect on him? I mean, other than writing the big check?
Well, I don't think in his case, when you're worth $1.7 billion, coach, you could fine him a couple million dollars. Will that have an effect? I think it's more. I think his punishment is just what I read. He was forced to vacate the building. He will have no communication with the franchise personnel, and he will miss a big part of, a third of the season or a quarter of the season that of a franchise and a league that he just loves. It's his identity and his life. And I think with that and the negative PR, I think that should and will call that to his attention, and he's got to get himself cleaned up.
Agreed.
When you're $1.7 billion, coach, I mean, at what point, you know, maybe it'd be $10 million would hurt him. I don't know. Would it? I don't know. So it's not the money.
I don't know.
I think it's the suspension and being away from the league and the football franchise. Anyway, turning on the hot side, coach, Peyton Manning. You brought him up earlier. They'll be playing, his Denver Broncos will be playing the Colts this weekend on Sunday Night Football. But a great statistic here on Peyton. This guy is a machine, and I happened to catch last night that documentary that ESPN, I think, put together. it was rebroadcasted on the Mannings. But Peyton is only 5,036 yards passing away from reaching the 70,000-yard club. There's only one other quarterback in that club, Coach, and his name is Brett Favre. And there's a good chance, without barring an injury, that Mr. Manning will be joining Brett Favre in the 70,000-yard-plus club this year. So, Peyton Manning, as you begin your season, you are hot. Well, I love the Favre, and I love the Manning. I love it. I'm glad they're going to be together. All right, Coach, on the not-hot side, we'll go this one and then one on each side, and we'll wrap it up. But you said it. We went and saw the Brew Crew play the Cubbies earlier this week, Tuesday and Wednesday night. The Brew Crew has made my not-hot list, Coach. After 150 days of the regular season, looking down at the other teams in the Central Division, including the St. Louis Cardinals, the Milwaukee Brewers have now, after last night's loss to the Cardinals at home, have lost 8 in a row and have given up their division-leading lead to none other than the St. Louis Cardinals, who now leads the NL Central and is looking down to the Brew Crew. I'll tell you, they looked hapless up at Wrigley Field when we were watching them for those two nights. They're not in sync. They're playing bad baseball. They better turn it around quick, because I think they are sliding down that pole, and they're not being able to get a grip. So after losing their division lead, Coach, they've lost 8 in a row. The Milwaukee Brewers are not hot.
I agree. I saw them play. They were awful.
And on the hot side, to round that side up, Coach, staying with the tennis theme, I have to bring this up. This is unbelievable. Anybody know the Bryan brothers, the professional men's doubles team made up of twins Bob and Mike Bryan? If they win on Sunday, they will have won 100 doubles titles and 16 major doubles titles if they're able to win this at the U.S. Open this Sunday. They have held the number one doubles rank in professional men's tennis, Coach, for not 200, not 300, but for 380 straight weeks. They've got Olympic gold medal titles, an incredible resume with regards to being focused on men's doubles and professional title tennis. I just had to bring them up with the U.S. Open wrapping up. The Bryan brothers, you are red hot.
That's awesome. That is great stuff. That's amazing.
All right, we're going to end it on this one. Go ahead.
Because say, who's not hot? I think I know who's coming. People are going to love
this. Oh, yeah. We got to talk about Robert Montgomery Knight to end our list up. I don't know if your listeners have heard, but it was reported last night, late in the evening, that retired college men's basketball coach Bobby Knight, after a long fishing trip in Wyoming, was driving down a rural highway, and he hit something, Coach. He hit something. Deployed his airbag, totaled the expedition that he was driving, and he was alone, so no other controversy there. But it ended up as the Wyoming Highway Patrol came to his rescue that he hit not a moose, Coach, not a bear, But Robert Montgomery Knight hit a cow. And and as Coach Knight told the officer, I didn't see it. So Robert Montgomery Knight, I don't know how the fishing was, but boy, that trip home was not hot. Move over. That would have been better for him. That was bad. I know. That was bad. That was bad. Don, great stuff. Great trip to Chicago with you. Of course, we ran into a little Dan Dockage situation on the way through Indy. We may talk about that later in the show. But great stuff on who's hot and who's not. All right. Have a great show, Coach. Great weekend. All right. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a new guy coming on to the show from the Herald Times, the Hoosier Scoop, scoop.hoosierhq.com. Mike Miller coming to talk about some Indiana football stuff and probably a little bit more. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're listening to the Coach, Ken Schulteis. I'm right here with Joe Milligan. Folks, I want to just throw this out. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties, a little gargling, a scrambling in the voices once in a while. We apologize for that. There's not a whole lot we can do about it. You know, we're connected to the net through Blog Talk Radio, and sometimes they just have problems on their end. But it doesn't matter. You know why? Because we're not going to quit. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep competing on this show and talking about bringing in a heavyweight. We've got one coming in. We're not talking about physical weight. We're just talking about toughness in the area of sports talk and sports reporting. Mike Miller from the Herald Times is joining us. Mike, welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, Dustin used to come on for us. He's gone to Knoxville now. You're going to help us out. We're going to talk a little IU football and basketball through the season and everything else. You actually covered, or maybe still do, have covered high school sports in the area as well.
Yeah. I've been at the Herald Times for 2 years prior to taking over for Dustin. So prior to that, I was one of the main guys on high school football. Did some basketball and also covered, you know, IU women's basketball, did some general assignment stuff. So I've been around for a couple years. So yeah, I mean, last couple years just really been focusing on high school sports up here, you know, the Monroe County area.
Yeah, well, my background as a high school coach in the state of Indiana, basketball-wise, so I'm real familiar with that part of the state and the basketball that's come out of there. You talked a little bit about covering some IU women's basketball, you know, with Kirk Miller leaving. You know, a lot of people just had great respect for the job he had done, and we've got a new person at the new gal leading the team. You're on the new IU women's coach real quickly.
Yeah, I mean, she's really, I mean, this is a huge challenge for her, you know, right off the bat, you know, coming in at a really inopportune time, having to put together a staff when everyone's just about getting ready for the season. It's going to be an uphill climb. I mean, obviously, they missed out on a big-time recruit this week, Jenna Allen from Bedford, you know, right in the backyard of Bloomington, going up to Michigan State now. She was a Kurt Miller recruit, 6'3", 6'4", forward. That was a huge loss for them. I mean, IU has no real size in their women's program this year or next year. So losing out on Jenna Allen is a big, big loss, and it's really not a good sign if and you know, I don't want to put it too much on the new staff because obviously they got a lot going on right now, but that has to be a priority, you know, keeping Jenna Allen in, you know, committed to IU. She decommitted just a couple days after Kurt Miller resigned, and really, you know, it's just not a good sign off the bat when you can't keep a girl like that in your own backyard. So, you know, we'll see where everything goes from here, but the one thing Kurt Miller really did do in recruiting was establish a really strong foothold in the 2016-2017 classes. You know, he was in on a lot of the top girls in the Midwest in Indiana. So, you know, that's going to be key for Terry Moore and her staff to really maintain that foothold in those classes, because there's a lot of good talent coming up in those classes. So, you know, you look at the future of IU women's basketball, it seemed to be heading in the right direction as far as recruiting, as far as bringing girls to fit Kurt Miller's, you know, ball screen offense. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But they don't have any recruits for 2015 right now, so they're going to have to get going real fast here.
Yeah, you know, that's the tough thing. Sometimes you have people that want to go play for the school because it's the school. But it really does show what the coaches, as a head coach or assistant coaches, how much connection they can get with these kids. I mean, he brought in the Munsterman girl from down in our area. He brought in Tyra Buss from over in southern Illinois. You said he had a foothold with the gal in the Bedford area. People need to understand that when these coaches, when they're good recruiters, they're good at getting out there and establishing relationships. It makes a big difference for the program, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, one of the top girls coming up, I think she's in the 2016 class, you know, Jackie Young. She's down, I guess, closer to your area. You know, that was a girl that IU really had or has their sights on. I don't know what the status is there right now. But, you know, I think one of the things that Kurt Miller really did was he brought a lot of hope to the program, not only on the court but off the court. He seemed like a really good recruiter. His assistants were really good recruiters. You know, they got into homes. You know, they established those relationships, and that was really important. That's important at any level of recruiting, but, you know, that was something that IU was really doing a good job of, whereas, you know, it sounds like, I wasn't here for the previous staff, but it sounds like they really weren't able to make those connections with some of the best recruits. So that was one thing he did and one thing his staff did, and that was one big reason why I think a lot of people were sorry to see him go, because, you know, it seemed like everything was trending in the right direction as far as, you know, on the court, but, you know, off the court, he had those relationships built in the future recruiting classes too.
Yeah, with Notre Dame's women's basketball and Purdue women's basketball doing elite, really playing elite basketball, it was good to see IU starting to make that move towards becoming an upper Big Ten competitor and getting those kids in. I've seen Jackie Young play. She's an outstanding player. She's only going to get better, as well as seeing Tyra Buss and the Munsterman gal play. All right, let's switch it over, Mike. Let's talk a little IU football. Kevin Wilson. I'm not going to say it's a make-or-break year, but it's kind of one of those years. He's gotten better. The program's gotten better as we've gone on. But just getting better to 500 is not what IU's looking for. We've sunk a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of energy, Fred Glass and his crew, trying to make IU get him to the upper echelon of the Big Ten. I'm a Kevin Wilson fan. I love what's gone on offense, although we did look a little shaky against Indiana State. Some guys aren't on the same page yet. But the big question, everybody knows it, nobody's going to dodge it, is a young defense who's now a young veteran defense, are we making any strides? What'd you take away from that Indiana State game?
It's a really good question because, you know, it's Indiana State. You don't want to put too much into what you see on the field because it's just not a good indication of where the team is. Obviously, the one thing going into that game everybody was looking at is the defense. They got off to a really not a great start. I counted, you know, two or three missed tackles in the first two plays of the game. And that's been a huge problem for IU's defense, just the tackling. I mean, they just haven't been able to tackle guys. It's been a huge, huge problem for those guys the last couple of years. But you're right. I mean, there's a lot of talent, a lot of raw talent there. You know, you look at the linebackers, they're probably 10 or 12 deep at linebacker. Secondary, they got some nice young corners coming up. I really like the play at safety. I think that was really a nice takeaway, you know, the play of Chase Dutra at safety. There were some safety blitzes that he disguised really well. He had one late in the second half that really caught Indiana State off guard. So I think, by and large, the play of the secondary was a bit of a nice takeaway. I mean, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, a guy like Tim Bennett had a great game, but you look at Michael Hunter on the outside. I mean, he did a really nice job with some open field tackling, just played the position really well, good in coverage. So you're seeing some of the younger guys, you know, guys at linebacker, Tigray Scales, I think he was in there for 23 plays, he said. You know, he looked pretty good. And that's a really – you look at his 3-4 defense, they're the deepest area they have is linebacker, and that's where you see a lot of the young raw talent, and you know, guys like Tigre Scales, Greg Gooch, they're going to come up and they're going to make an immediate impact, I think, on this defense. We're starting to see that, and I think once we get into the Bowling Green game next week, that's going to be more of an indication of where they are and what you can really expect. But as far as just watching them get on the field, get the game speed, there are some things to like. You know, again, I don't want to put too much stock into what they did against Indiana State, but by and large, you know, in the immediate, you know, wake of the game, I didn't want to get too high on them because the last couple of years I've seen them against Indiana State and they've looked a little better. They've looked a little faster. I mean, they certainly looked a little faster on Saturday, but then going back and look at some of the stats, I mean, comparing stats from this year to last year, they held Indiana State to half the yards. You know, they did step up in the stat sheet. And as far as just passing the look test, they look a little fast. They look like they could be better. But again, you know, it's a wait-and-see thing with that defense. You know, I don't want to say that they passed the test, so they look really good right now. I mean, they look like they're playing a little fast. They look like they still have some things to figure out in that defense. But I think there's the potential there where they could take a little step further. I think if they just make a couple more stops a game, that's the difference between, you know, an extra win or two and, you know, bowl eligibility.
What is our new coordinator? What's his comments, Brian Nord? Did he address the media? Did he give some things right? You know, one thing that I will say, I'm not making excuses for anybody. It was a mess on Saturday. I mean, you had a delayed game. You got all this excitement. The rain's coming down. The crowd was affected. It was kind of messy from that standpoint. But how's Brian looking at this team and what he saw in the first week?
Yeah, I think everyone's encouraged. No one's surprised. No one is really, you know, down on anybody right now. I think they really went into that game with sort of limited packages, both on offense and defense. By and large, I think they're happy with what they saw for the most part. It's still a matter of, I mean, he's still installing his defense. They're probably about, you know, 50-60% of the way into that playbook on defense. So, you know, there's a lot of room to grow on that side of the ball. I think by and large, there weren't many, you know, major breakdowns on defense, which I think was, you know, a good thing. I think he just really wanted to get them on the field and get them some confidence going into the bye week. I mean, they really treated this game as, you know, we've been saying all week trying to tell people that, you know, you have to understand this game was really an extension of their preseason because you had a game against, you know, an FCS opponent, then you go into a bye week, then you get Bowling Green. I mean, they really weren't overworking them during, you know, preseason practice in August. They were sort of building up to the Indiana State game. Get ready for Indiana State, then you got a bye. You know, it's all part of the preseason right now. They're all really the season opener is Bowling Green. So right now I think it's just a matter of getting guys comfortable, getting guys in places where they think they can help. And really, especially on defense, just getting some confidence for those guys because, I mean, they've been hearing for the last 2 years how horrible they are, and frankly, they haven't been good at all. But, you know, it really right now, is, you know, you got so many young guys. You got some guys who have been here for a few years and haven't had much success. I think right now, especially for the defense, just about, you know, getting some confidence for those guys.
You know, Mike, you're honest about it, and that's what they have been hearing for the last couple of years. They haven't been very good. I think the only defense that's been worse is up in Purdue, up in West Lafayette. I'm saying that as a pro IU guy all the way as well. But when you look at this team as a whole, Indiana State game, as a coach, I got to tell you, I would be pretty happy from the standpoint of Kevin Wilson. You just kind of laid it out, an extension of the preseason. You've got Indiana State, and then you've got a whole week off. So instead of really coming in and worrying about their next opponent in Bowling Green, who I believe lost their starting quarterback this past weekend, they really get a focus on what didn't we do right? What areas do we need to get better at? Where do we need to handle or to add some checks at the line of scrimmage, and how do we need to make some adjustments so we have more of a full game plan regardless of who we play?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they really have been able to spend this week working on themselves as far as, you know, they don't have to worry about Bowling Green for another week. That's part of the positive of getting the bye week right now. They get to get everybody at the game speed. They get to see everything on film. Then they spend this week just working on themselves, you know, going back in the film room, seeing what didn't work, what worked. You know, on offense, it's a matter of, you know, they didn't go into the game with a big, you know, offensive package for Nate Sudfeld. You know, they knew they were going to run the ball. They weren't going to try to do too much. I mean, if you go back and watch the film, I mean, I don't think they ran a single crossing pattern the entire game. I mean, it was just a very limited playbook on offense. So the main thing right now, though, is getting, you know, some of the young receivers on the same page as Nate Sudfeld, because there were certainly times, you know, in that game where, you know, some of the younger guys didn't quite didn't look like they were on the same page with Nate. I think the interception there in the third quarter, Nate goes the outside for Simi Cobbs. I don't think Cobbs turned quickly enough, or he didn't run that route quickly enough, and Nate, you know, certainly didn't throw a great ball, but there was just, you know, you could tell there was some miscommunications between Nate and his receiver. So I think right now, especially on offense, that's one of the things they're working on, is just getting guys, you know, getting them in sync, getting them on the same page, and you know, that's part of the positive of the bye week right now. You just get to work on yourselves.
Yeah, and you talk about maybe some of the indecision and limited package as far as the offense was concerned. I think for the average fan, that's what most of them came out of that game or during the game were disappointed in. I think a lot of people felt like this offense would be further ahead, but as you just perfectly described, there were limits on what they were going to allow these guys to do. You've got some young receivers who are not on the same page with an experienced quarterback yet. That's going to take just a little bit of time, but we know that all that potential is there because we've seen it in the past. One of the things I'd like you to comment on as well before we end the segment is IU was not afraid to throw some young guys out there, not just to mop up, but to get some important minutes this past week against Indiana State.
Yeah, definitely. You know, they threw 11 freshmen into the game. Four of them were receivers, tight ends. You had, you know, Simi Cobbs, who I thought had a really nice debut. He's a 6'4 guy, plays on the outside. He can be another big target in the mold of, you know, a Cody Latimer type guy, big, strong kid, you know, a freshman. You know, there's room to grow there. Jayshon Harris, you know, a smaller slot receiver in the mold of Shane Wynn. Then you got Dominique Booth, the big recruit, you know, one-time Tennessee commit who flipped and came to IU. You know, a tight end, you got Jordan Fuchs, who's a really athletic former basketball player. He's going to be a pass-catching tight end for them. So they're getting those guys into the mix early. And, you know, one thing I will say is that I think, you know, you look at how limited they were in that game, and honestly, I think part of it is, you know, you just don't want to put a lot of stuff on film right now. You don't want to give Bowling Green that extra advantage of seeing all these packages, seeing, you know, what these young guys are capable of. You know, Kevin Wilson, Kevin Johns, they know what these young guys can do. They've been seeing in practice, you know, since the spring. You know, that was another reason why you don't want to go into Indiana State and, you know, start, you know, throwing the ball all over the place. I mean, look, these guys know what their young guys are capable of, and I think we're going to start to see them really, you know, put them in, you know, more important situations. You're going to rely on them a lot more, you know, next week at Bowling Green, you know, the week after that at Missouri. I mean, because they're going to have to. I mean, Bowling Green's a good team with or without their, you know, starting quarterback. You know, Missouri is Missouri. So, you know, and you just look at the receiving core. I mean, there's no proven receivers outside of, you know, Shane Wynn. You got seniors like, you know, Nick Stoner and Isaiah Roundtree, but those are guys who have only played limited minutes. So, you know, they're going to have to rely on these guys, and I think there's a lot of raw talent there. You know, I haven't been here too long, but it's kind of interesting to talk to some of the guys who have been watching IU football for a while. And, you know, one of the questions I've been asking people is, you know, when was the last time IU football had this much raw talent on its roster? I mean, you look, especially offensively, you look at, you know, the skill positions, it's all there. It's just young. So it's really just a matter of, you know, molding it and building it, and I think we're going to start to see that over the next few weeks.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I think there's a lot of talent there. Now, we're talking about the Big Ten, and it takes a lot to be in that upper echelon, at least getting to the upper half, where IU just has not tasted for a long time. Is the depth there? We'll have to see. But I do like that Coach Wilson, he's been around the game a long time, and so is his offensive and defensive coordinators. They understand that these first couple weeks, they got to get the basics down. If these young guys can't fundamentally do the basic tenets of the offensive defense or the IU's offense and defense, then they're not going to be able to get the big play or pull off the big series when they need it. They got to get these basics down. So I agree with that. You don't need to show everything. You don't need to give your opponents more to look at and be ready for. And I kind of like how they approach this Indiana State game. At first, I'm going to be the fan. At first, I'm like, man, I thought we would have put more points on the board. But as you really break it down and look at what they're trying to do and what they're trying to accomplish, the whole day and the weather and all the other stuff made sense. I got to ask you a question, Mike. You know, talking about the new format for a national champion, looking at the Big Ten as a whole,
And, you know, IU's probably not going to be in this mix. But when you look at the Big Ten, if the and I pose this at the start of the show to talk about throughout the show, can a Big Ten team, and once I say this, you're going to know I'm pointing to Michigan State and Oregon tonight, or
yeah.
this weekend, can a Big Ten team go to the Final Four of football with one loss? I mean, do we need a Big Ten team to run the table to make it to that championship Final Four? Does our conference have enough in it for when those guys get around that table and start putting those people towards that Big Four, that championship four? Can a one-loss Big Ten team be in that mix?
That's a really good question. And I think, you know, this weekend's game, the Michigan State game this weekend is huge. I mean, it's just for just a national perception standpoint. I mean, you look around the country and, you know, as far as the power conferences, I'm not sure the Big Ten really gets its due. I think, you know, the Ohio States, the Michigan States, you know, those are good teams, great teams, and I think people recognize that, but I'm not sure they really respect that. So I think if Michigan State can actually, you know, go into Oregon this weekend and sort of have a good showing, you know, pull out a win, I think that does a lot for them, but it also does a lot for the conference too, I think, just to show that, you know, the Big Tens are national players. I mean, they can go on the road, they can go in a hostile environment in Oregon and you know, get some respect for this conference. So it's a really good question. I'm not really sure. It's just hard to get a gauge on what the national perception truly is of the Big Ten. You know, I mean, I'm not sure what, you know, how much respect there really is for this conference.
Yeah, I feel what you're saying. I mean, we're talking about a Michigan program that's really nobody's really talking about on the upper level. They used to all the time. And Brady Hoke, I think he does a great job, but obviously they're falling a little bit short. Ohio State's missing one of the top college quarterbacks, top players in the country. And, you know, are they in a trap game against Virginia Tech? I don't know. I don't think Virginia Tech's as good as Ohio State, but you never know with the change of quarterback. So it will be interesting. I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts and see how that plays out. But
let's see after this game.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to watch it. So we've got IU with the bye week, Bowling Green coming up. Any concerns about Bowling Green? They've lost their quarterback. Is this IU team ready to leak and then step up again?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, obviously, it's a big loss for Bowling Green to lose their quarterback. I mean, you know, Bowling Green gave up a ton of yards. I think they gave up like 700 yards of total offense in their opener. They get VMI this week, so they should get maybe a little back on track a little bit. But, you know, Bowling Green came to Bloomington last year, and that was sort of an anomaly in their season. They got crushed. I mean, I think it was like 42-10 or something like that. Bowling Green's a good team. I mean, they're once again picked to win the MAC. So, you know, obviously things might change a little bit without their starting quarterback. But this is going to be a really good test for IU. You know, go on the road, go in a MAC environment, and really play, you know, a really solid team. It's not a given that they're going to win this game. I mean, they're going to really have to earn this one. But, you know, the thing I'm really looking forward to is the fact that, you know, from here, we'll really be able to see, you know, okay, where's the defense? You know, where are guys starting to fit in offensively? Who's on the same page now? Is, you know, does Nate Sudfeld have a better gauge of who's going to be where? You know, is the running game for real? I mean, I think Tevin Coleman is probably one of the most underrated players in college football, not only the Big Ten, but college football. You know, how much does he get used from this point on? So there's going to be a lot of telling signs coming out of the Bowling Green game, and really looking forward to it.
All right, Mike, we'll let you go. I know you got the Hoosier Scoop and you got live chats coming up, and you can follow Mike at Mike Miller HT on Twitter. Anything you want to leave with the fans before we say goodbye for this segment?
No, just continue to check in with us on the Hoosier Scoop. It's scoop.hoosiershq.com. We're there every day updating on IU football, IU basketball, and pretty much everything else going on here in Bloomington. So hang in there with us on the Hoosier Scoop.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Mike Miller, Bloomington Herald Times. Loved having you, Mike. Great stuff. We're going to go to break, guys. When we come back, we got Bill Somm talking Indy High School football. He's now one of the coaches up there. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence.
Our prices will save you money. Huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Uvalar & Sons Chevy, Cadillac, and Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we are back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're talking to the coach. Man, I'll tell you, I love Mike Miller. Mike Miller came on. He's first-time guest for us. Did a great job talking about the Hoosiers and Hoosier football, and I look forward to having him back. But I always get excited. I always get pumped. I always get geared up, jacked up, whatever you want to call it. It's Football Friday, but it's not really Football Friday until you have the man, the myth, the legend, and now a coach roaming the sidelines for Indianapolis High School football at Brebeuf Jesuit. Bill Somm joins us. Billy, how you doing, bud?
Great, Coach. Happy Friday. Good to hear your voice. How are you?
I am doing great. I tell you, my brother Don, obviously you know him well. We just got back from spending a couple days in Chicago watching the Cubs come back and get ready for the show. You're coming on. I'm excited because you're back doing something you really love. And before we talk about all the rest of Indianapolis High School football, let's talk a little bit about you. You're back in the saddle, assistant coach, handling the line at Brebeuf Jesuit. I'm excited for you, Coach Somm. It's got to feel good to be back out there.
Well, thank you much. You and I have had a lot of conversations offline about coaching and the importance of that to helping young people and just feel like you're making a contribution. So I feel very fortunate to be part of such a outstanding program. The kids have been wonderful. They work hard. They're very intelligent. It's a great atmosphere. The head coach is, as I probably mentioned last year, is one of the up-and-comers of one of the younger coaches in the state of Indiana. And it's just a very fortunate situation, and I feel blessed.
Yeah, not only that, but Brebeuf Jesuit has pretty darn good football team. At least on paper, you guys have an opportunity to do well this year and make some noise come tournament time.
Well, Brebeuf was fortunate enough to be in the state championship game last year. They were fortunate enough to beat Bishop Chittard last year for the first time in about 20 years. The downside is that we were up 14-3 this year against Chittard and ended up losing 17-14. But we have two outstanding players that as we go through the year and talk about the top players in Indy, their name will rise to the top on various occasions. We have a tailback, Levante Bellamy, who had 2,300 yards last year. And we had a quarterback. We have our quarterback back, and Aaron Banks, who threw for over 2,000 yards, also. And they're very, very good athletes, but they're surrounded by some wonderful young guys that really, really work hard. It's a bit of an adjustment for me in a real positive, fun way, is because we have some kids going both ways, and everywhere else I've coached, it's been a two platoon system. So you're really getting experience from young people that love the game and really do lay it all out on the field, because they rarely come off, at least a number of them. But I think the community will really like our tailback and our quarterback from the standpoint of watching great talent.
Well, it's exciting to have you back out there doing what you love to do. And I know how much you love football and coaching and just working with young people in general, no matter what level. But when we talk about football in the state of Indiana, and really nationally anymore, on the high school level, you have to look at the Indianapolis area. And it's no different this year. We've got some outstanding teams up there. One team that we talk about every year, and we should because they get national recognition and they usually win a state championship, and that's Cathedral. It really is a little bit different from the standpoint of people look and say Cathedral, two losses, but they've had a couple years here where the regular season was challenging only to just march through the playoffs and win a state championship. Right now, I believe they sit at 0-2. Your thoughts on the Cathedral Irish, where they're at and where they're going?
Well, Coach, the last 2 years they finished 5-4 in the regular season, and they won the state championship. And I know Coach Dreif was not and is not at all satisfied with that 5-4 record. They changed their offense in the offseason. They now run a spread, no-huddle offense, and they have tried to step it up. But I'll tell you what, that Ben Davis football team, you talk about a national football program, at least for this year. Cathedral hit a buzzsaw in that first game, and I think the conversation about that game would be more about Ben Davis than any negative about Cathedral. In game two, week two, Cathedral played Warren Central, who, again, is a very, very good football team. And Cathedral probably should have won it at the end. They didn't pull it out. They lost by three. Cathedral's going to be fine. They have a quarterback who is playing as a junior, first time in many years that Cathedral had a junior quarterback. So he's getting it figured out. He's a very intelligent young man, and he'll be a Division I prospect. So they're going to be okay. They just got to work some kinks out. They lost some great wide receivers. They lost a great quarterback. They lost a couple of offensive linemen that went Division I. So, how football goes with injuries. Their best offensive lineman, Jared Thomas, who is committed to Northwestern, is out for about a month with some sort of foot injury. So I think when the dust settles, they're going to be okay. They get out of school early today, and they're driving up to South Bend, St. Joe. I suspect they'll get their first win there, and then they come back and play Chittard, which is, as you know, one of the better rivalries in the state.
Well, we definitely will talk about Chittard before we end this segment, but one team I want to jump over to, you mentioned them, a national power, at least for this year. They've had some great football teams in the past, then they kind of, they were cyclical, and now they've got this very talented team, and that's Ben Davis.
Well, that is a good summary of they've been on the radar screen year after year after year, but I think this could be the year that they're rolling. They have some great athletes. They have a quarterback by the name of Kyle Kastner. He's a senior. He threw for 1,700 yards last year and 18 touchdowns. So he's coming back as his second year as a starter and is really running that offense very well. They have a great linebacker, last name Biel, who's 6'3", and he's got over 20 offers, but he's down to Notre Dame and Michigan, so that kind of states for itself what kind of football player that young man is. And then they have a defensive tackle, Norman Oglesby, who has a University of Cincinnati commitment. So they just keep coming at you with Division I athletes, but they're well surrounded with team speed. Kirchner's a good coach. This very well could be their year. I think they play Pike tonight. I think they're going to be okay tonight. Pike's a good football team, but I think Ben Davis may be on a whole nother level this year.
A couple other schools you've talked about the past couple years with us, Warren Central and Center Grove. What's going on with those two programs?
Well, Warren Central is now in the second year of their new head coach, Jason West, who, as you know, came over from Lawrence Central. They went at 11-3 last year. They were not a dominant team last year, but I think they were trying to work everything through with their new coach. They're going to be just fine. They're not a great team, but they're a very good team, a team that is going to win a whole bunch of football games this year. They have a real nice running back in Tyrone Young. He rushed for about 800 yards last year, and he has an offer presently from Illinois. So, we're talking about a Big Ten running back. They have a defensive back, last name Williams, who has over a dozen offers, and five of those 12 offers are from Big Ten schools. So, he's a defensive back. He runs a 4.5 40. So they also have athletes. As you know, that whole schedule, all those guys play, is such a buzzsaw. Warren Central is going to be there at the end. You don't want to start looking forward to the playoffs because every Friday night there's such good games. But I'll tell you what, when it gets down to lose and go home, there's going to be some knockdown dragouts in this 6A playoff.
And, I've kind of been throwing you around a little bit. You got Carmel, you got Chittard, you got a number
of teams up in that area. You got a young quarterback, last name of Trudeau. We might remember his dad when he played. There's just a number of good teams and good players up in that Indianapolis area. I'll just let you take the rest of this segment and talk to us a little bit about who's on your radar and what your thoughts are.
Well, I'll tell you, Coach, one team that I'd like to put on the radar screen of the folks down in the southern Indiana that would not necessarily think about this team is Southport. Billy Peoples, the head football coach there, and they made quite a run last year. You know, they had an unbelievable set of victories. Billy's first 3 years there, I think he won 3 football games. And last year they finished 11-1 until they got beat by Center Grove in the regional. But they have a junior quarterback in Luke Johnson, who is a Division I caliber kid. He had 2,700 yards in passing and 29 TDs. They went into Roncalli, who on week one they beat Roncalli, and then they go at Westfield, who, as you know, was in the state championship game last year, and they beat Westfield. So they're sitting there at 2-0, and they're a very, very good team. I don't know that at the end of the day, when they get in the tournament, if they can go foot to foot with Warren Central and Ben Davis and Carmel week after week. But you're going to hear some real noise from Southport during the regular season, and I think that's a team that we should pay close attention to. I think it's going to be very interesting to watch Chittard. They have 2 Division I offensive linemen. They're very big, 6'5" kids, 260. They can really push people around. They don't quite have the quarterback they've had in the past. But they're so well coached, and obviously they have great tradition there. Lawrence Central, I saw them play in person last Saturday against St. Ignatius out of Ohio. They lost, but I really like Lawrence Central. I think they're going to do some things. They have a gunslinger, a quarterback, a kid named Brian Haas, who's a senior, who I think would just make a wonderful Division II or Division III quarterback. He's quite the leader. And will be very interesting to watch. I think another team to watch, just if you love high school football and the success of young people, will be Lawrence North. They have not won a football game in a long, long time, it's actually since 2011. But I think they're coming. They should have beat Noblesville. That Dagburn Noblesville ran a 72-yard kickoff return back with 35 seconds to go. So they're on the cusp of being successful. This week it's LN versus LC. So if you're coming to Indianapolis, that's a great rivalry no matter what the records are. Center Grove, they're going to be a team to watch. We've got to see, you know, lots of graduation there at Center Grove. Warren Central beat them in week one in overtime 12-9. So that's going to be a team that's going to be very interesting to watch. And then you're going to have some teams that everyone doesn't always keep track of. I think you got to keep your eye on Brownsburg. They have a sophomore quarterback who's already has offers from Tennessee, Kentucky, and Purdue. You want to watch Avon because they have a quarterback who's a junior, Brandon Peters, who has offers from Virginia Tech, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, and Kentucky. We ought to kind of watch Brownsburg and Avon to see how those quarterbacks shape out. If you like smaller football and you follow some of the coaches, we now have Jimmy O'Hare, a former head coach at Cathedral High School. He's out of Eastern Hancock because the Eastern Hancock coach went to Zionsville. So Jimmy is now 1-1 at Eastern Hancock, and it'll be interesting to see how he puts that club together. So those are some of the initial thoughts. There's a lot of good football up here, and we've really talked about that for the last several years. But you're seeing more and more college coaches come through at all levels, not just Division I, II, and III. And I think what we've talked about before also, and this is a credit to them as individuals, but it's also a great situation for young people, no matter what level of football you play, is that the coaching in the Indianapolis area is very, very good. It's very, very competitive. They're very good human beings, ethical people, demanding, but well tuned into the X's and O's. So I think the young people around here are getting better and better, Coach.
Oh, Coach Somm, I'll tell you what, I absolutely agree, and I know we have preached it
for the last few years on this show. We've been here 3 years. We've been preaching for 3 years. And we keep – everything we've said continues to come to fruition. And that's good, really good high school football in the Indianapolis area. Obviously, having the Indianapolis Colts makes a big difference because kids are growing up now. Families are growing up. Coaches-to-be are growing up, watching pro football, college football, and it can't help but to trickle down in the high school level.
That's right. That's right. Hey, now, listeners, one other thing I want to mention, because I know we can't get through a segment without you getting the shakes if we don't mention basketball. But we actually have a connection here between basketball and football. We have a wide receiver, Grant Weatherford, at Hamilton Heights. He's a Purdue basketball commit, and he's playing football. So he's found the good Lord in the right area of sport there, and we got to keep track of Grant as we go through the season. But it's exciting to see a young man who has such a great future in basketball to help out his high school football team also.
And the good thing about it, folks, is that we've seen it on the pro level now with several all-pro receivers and tight ends play basketball in college. So you can really develop your true athletic skills, and then they'll just draft you in the pros. You can make the money in the NFL, and you get the best of both worlds.
That's right. There you go, Coach.
Before I let you go, Bill, I do want to throw a couple college things at you. Ohio State, they're having to come in with a new quarterback because of the injury, obviously. They play Virginia Tech, Frank Beamer. It's not a great Virginia Tech team. It's coming into Columbus, though, so I think this makes a big difference. Is this in any way a trap game for the Buckeyes?
Oh, I think so. You know, they're lucky they're at home. If this game was on the road, I think there could be a real problem. Having said that, since they're at home, they're 11-point favorites over Virginia Tech. I think they're going to be okay. There's just, oh, my goodness, the talent on that Ohio State football team is off the charts, and I think they're going to get better and better, and they're going to survive this quarterback situation, but they probably – you know, they're going to be probably a top 12 team rather than a top 3 team because that kid Miller would just make plays that no one else really could. But I think Ohio State's going to be okay. They're going to get their 10 wins. It's just which one or two might they lose. I think in college football, at least in this area, the team we need to watch is Michigan because Brady Hoke is on the hot seat there, which is very disappointing because he's probably one of the better men in college football with the type of person he is, the type of assistant coaches he hires, and the type of people he recruits. But that's going to be very interesting to see what unfolds for Michigan going forward.
Yeah, and I brought this question up at the top of the show, and I talked with Mike Miller of the Bloomington Herald Times. I posed it to him as well. I'll pose it to you. With the new format for a national champion, and you have your Final Four, the Big Four in the football championship, can a Big Ten team, such as a Michigan State, if they get beat by touchdowns to Oregon and then run the table in the Big Ten, can a one-loss Big Ten team get to this Final Four, get to this championship?
Well, Coach, we probably should tape all these questions and answers in regards to that because I guess we're going to see how this thing unfolds. I'm going to answer that question as no, because there are so many college football teams. I think you're going to have at least two finish undefeated, so that's going to make that choice easy, and you may have three or four. I don't think you can get beat by Oregon. And what if, you know, I think that the extended answer to that question is, well, how many, let's just say Michigan State gets beat by Oregon, how many more do they lose the rest of the year? If they lose any, then that makes that loss even worse for Michigan State. In basketball, you can lose some things during the season and recover because there's 64 of them. I think what you're going to see, and we ought to talk about this late in the season, you're going to see a whole bunch of media people in the middle of January write an article of how dare they only invite four teams. They've got to invite eight, or they have to invite 16. I think that's where the discussion is going to go. But I don't think you're going to get very far with one loss, which is crazy,
by the way. It is crazy. And I think it goes back to the state of the Big Ten from a football standpoint. You know, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and then Wisconsin. I mean, are we good? We not good? Why will an SEC team get that? I don't know. Kind of get that break, possibly, and go ahead of a Big Ten team. You understand it and know it and live it more than I do, and that's why I pose the question to you. What is the state of Big Ten football?
Well, I think it's improving, but gosh darn it, Wisconsin really didn't help us last weekend. You know, you just can't give up you can't give up that many points. And whether you're talking about Verbuff Jesuit giving up, you know, we're up 14-3 and we lose 17-14. You got to, you know, that you just can't give up points like Wisconsin did, especially when you have that type of lead. So that's very disappointing. The competition in the Big Ten is very good. I think that there's some really great athletes in the Big Ten. I think part of the charm of athletics, as you know, is arguing back and forth on who might be better at a certain position or team or league or conference or regional, et cetera. I think Ohio State, I think Michigan State, I think Wisconsin, and frankly, I think you're going to find that Michigan's going to be just fine. I think those people are going to be able to compete in due time with the Southeast Conference. What we have is too many not good teams in the Big Ten. You know, in the SEC, the quote bad teams, there aren't that many of them. They just get losses because of the Bamas and the Auburns and the Georgias. You know, the Purdues, the Indianas, they've got to step it up. Iowa's got to make a comeback, and so on and so forth. And, you know, Nebraska hasn't been on the national scene. I don't know enough about Maryland. I still don't – well, I guess I do. It's all about money, but I don't know what Maryland's doing in the Big Ten. So, you know, Rutgers, I mean, and it's going to be interesting. Big Ten's going to be fine because when you look at their recruiting list, they're in the mix for a lot of those players. The other thing, and this may sound like an excuse, you got to remember that this Big Ten is based on land-grant institutions, and the academic issues at those schools are a little bit higher standards than some others around the United States. So I think we have to keep that in the back of our minds. Not use it as an excuse because Stanford's highly ranked and Duke won a whole bunch of games last year. But I think there's lots of things that come into consideration when we're discussing Big Ten football.
Well, you make a good point. I also think you indirectly made another good point a little bit earlier. When you start putting the human element into the decision-making on who you bring in to that Final Four, it's not just stats and computers and then spit it out and these are the rankings and this is the way it goes. When you bring in the human element, and folks, the human element, I don't care how good a person it is. I don't care, unless it's Jesus Christ himself, and I say that with all due respect and honor, perception plays a big role. Bill, I mean, even as a coach, no matter how much we look at our stat sheets and we go through the drills, in the end there's that human perception about a kid's heart, a kid's willingness, a kid's toughness. When we have people, and I'm partly to blame, I'm banging on the Big Ten Conference. If people are banging on the Big Ten Conference and then some of those Big Ten teams who are not national-level teams are going out and getting beat by teams that are truly not national-level teams, then the perception comes back, yeah, they beat this conference team and this conference team and this conference team, but look who these conference teams got beat by. And so perception, the human element comes into play, and, Bill, you got to admit, perception becomes a part of that in the end.
It sure does. I think that's a very good observation. We need to get better from top to bottom, and I think they're getting there. I think the right guy is at Purdue. I think we're still trying to figure out if the right guy is at Indiana. You know, Illinois has got to get better. I think he's on a hot seat at Illinois. The guy at Iowa is a great, great coach. It just seems like they're just kind of treading water at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see if Penn State can continue their increase. I know they finally scheduled a great non-conference game for next year, and I'm playing West Point. So they may get their bell rung on that one, but we'll see.
Great stuff, Coach. Who you guys got this weekend?
We have Ritter at home. And we're excited because Ritter was in the state championship game in their division last year, and so were we. We think it's going to be a knockdown dragout. We like our chances, and I hope I can report a victory next Friday.
Well, I know you'll give it everything you got. I know because you're giving it everything you got, your kids will too. Great game. It looks, sounds like on paper, great game, Ritter and Brebeuf Jesuit. Folks, if you're in the Indianapolis area, get out and see high school football. I'm telling you, you're talking about top level kids. They're going to be playing on a college level next year somewhere, and coaches who can coach with anybody. Bill,
No NCAA questions this time.
Yeah, $5 to get in. You got to get out there. In fact, up at the IU game last weekend, I was tailgating, and right next to me is the commissioner of the IHSA, and we talked about what a great value high school sports in Indiana is. So, folks, get out there. Bill, great stuff as always. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Coach. Have a great week.
Hey, we're going to go to break. When we come back, if I get a chance, I'm going to tell you about my little – well, I got called out by Dan Dockage on the Dan Dockage Show on Tuesday as I'm driving through Indianapolis. Danny Double D, I guess it was a slow news day, but – several people heard it, and immediately they're calling my brother who lives in Indianapolis and texting me, and we'll talk about that. We've got Major League Baseball to talk about and more football to go. So when we come back, we'll finish up the second hour. Thank you, Bill Somm. Thank you, Mike Miller. Thank you, Don Schulteis. And thanks to my partner, Joe Milligan. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams. Natural-looking fillings. Crowns. Bridges and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care. Creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. We're talking football. We're talking baseball. We're talking basketball. We're talking tennis. We've talked a little bit about everything. We're talking about Coach Bob Knight, Robert Montgomery Knight, the general, hitting a cow. Couldn't he have yelled, "Move over"? No, he didn't do it. He didn't do it. I guarantee when the general hit that cow, when the general hit that cow up in Wyoming, night fishing, I bet he didn't say, "Oh my gosh, I hit something." I guarantee what came out of his mouth could only be heard on internet radio because it wouldn't be allowed on anything else. But I'll tell you a guy who I know got a chuckle out of that story, and that's one Purdue Pete, Joe Milligan, who just he can't stand IU, and he can't stand Robert Montgomery Knight.
You're wrong. I actually respect and like Robert Montgomery Knight. My question is, does he get to keep the cow? Did he fill up his freezer for the winter or what?
You know, that is kind of you wonder if he would have known it and was able, wouldn't have reported it, just ran out, picked up that cow,
thrown it in the back, took it home, gutted it, and put the meat away for the winter. Good idea, Joe. I don't know. With Bob Knight, you never know. If it would have been a bull, would he get the horns off it and put them on the front of his vehicle? I don't know. I don't know. Hey, Joe, before we go into my little Dan Dockage situation, called out. I was called out. On Tuesday, as I'm driving through Indianapolis, I'm called out by Dan Dockage on the Dan Dockage Show. I'll get to that in a minute, but I do want to ask Joe how his son Reed did in the game against Southridge and how what he feels like is going to happen. Things are going well for him, Joe?
Well, you know, sports is kind of crazy around this house right now. Last Friday, you had Reed playing the Southridge game. He had a nice game. Of course, kids, it's never good enough. But, you know, he had a couple tackles, had a couple carries, and he did a nice job. He's looking forward to the Boonville game tonight. He's the middle guy in the back on kickoff. You'd think he'd get a kickoff kick to him yet so far. They've not kicked anything to him yet. He'd really like to see that happen. But, you know, we had recent race win last night against Heritage Hills 20-6, and we've had Liz Milligan, that's a number 9 ranked Jasper Wildcats, that win again last night to go to 4-1. But they have a tall task this weekend. They get to play Indianapolis Cathedral, who they're not ranked number 1 in the nation right now because they had a couple losses, but they're still ranked in the top 10, I think, and Columbus East, who's also a 4A power. So it should be interesting around our house this week. We got a little bit of stuff to look forward to, a Friday Night Lights tonight with Reed and tomorrow with Liz at the Providence Invitational at Providence at Clarksville. So there's the Milligan update.
Well, you know, I'm going to say this about Coach Liz Milligan. We need to have her on the show here real soon. Tell her that I said that because I love talking to her. She's not.
You can talk to her. I've talked to her enough already. So
she's not afraid to play the tough teams, and I love that. She knows that the only way for her program to get better, for her girls to get better and be ready come tournament time, is to play good competition during the year. Volleyball is unique in itself because you can play multiple opponents in a day. But, Joe, I give her a lot of credit. She's not afraid to take on a good
team. Yeah, she's got a tough schedule. I mean, you know, you look at some of the other teams in Southern Indiana, you know, by the end of the year might have a better record. But some of the teams don't go challenge themselves and get ready for the tournament. And that's more important to her than, you know, she'd love to beat a Cathedral, love to beat a Columbus East. But the main goal right now is just to get better and play tough competition. So when she's on, you can talk to her. I talk to her all the time, so she probably won't want to talk to me. But we'll let you do that one.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk to her. I love Liz. I think Liz does a great job, and I love her insight. And she's real, very, very even-keeled. And folks, I know coaches get excited, and they get upset, and they get stressed out. But for the most part, she's even-keeled, and she's just fun to talk to when it comes to that. She's very humble about it. Another good volleyball team in the area, at least where we broadcast out of, folks. Of course, we're heard all over this earth through the Internet. Bar Eve has a nice team up the road, and we've talked about Bar Eve basketball in the past, but Bar Eve also has a pretty good volleyball team, correct, Joe?
Yeah, you know, and Bar Eve's such the same way. They took a loss to Bedford North Lawrence this week, but that's 4A playing 1A. That was a tough game. And this weekend, they're going to be playing number 2 in 2A, Evansville Modern Day. And you know, win or lose, it's going to make the Bar Eve Vikings stronger. And you know, they'll be tough. I mean, you know, Modern Day, you know, another top team in the area. I don't know much about them right now, but I do know they'll be coming to Jasper in a couple weeks, and that should be a fun match to attend.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay, all right. I've had some people ask me about this. I was called out, a friend of over 20 years, Dan Dockage, on the Dan Dockage Show, and this goes back a couple years now. It's more tongue in cheek for me than obviously it is for Dan. And you know, Double D, Danny Dockage, he's had some issues the last couple years in his life, and he's also done well. You know, he's on the ESPN
college broadcast, basketball broadcast. He's made a lot of people mad at IU, but he's still bitter about not getting hired at IU, where he did coach a top three team to a 3-4 record to end the season during the Sampson debacle. But Danny and I, about 2 years ago, year and a half ago, folks, just to kind of set the scene, set the stage. Danny and I, of course, have known each other for 20-plus years. When I was a high school coach, I used to meet him on the road at the basketball camps before AAU became really the way to go, and look at players and talk and drink a few beers together and swap some stories and look at recruits. And obviously, he was the first guy brought over to watch Michael Lewis. I believe Michael Lewis was a Division I player. I knew he was. And I wanted to make sure. So I brought Dan Dockage over, and he watched him play and did not know much about him, watched him the whole week, and before you know it, was going to, you know, IU offered him a scholarship. They went on to IU to become the all-time assist leader. Well, Dan and I, our relationship is just friends. Everything has a season. Sometimes you see people more than you see others. You know, once I got out of the coaching side, I didn't see him as much. He went to Bowling Green. He passed on the West Virginia job, which probably was not a good decision. And then he was out at Bowling Green. And now he does the very controversial Dan Dockage on 1070 The Fan, as well as college basketball. And he does a good job. Well, I'm going through Indianapolis, and I figured, you know what? My brother turns to Dan Dockage show, my brother Don, my brother Ed. We were on our way to Chicago, and my brother Don turns the Dan Dockage show on. And I'm like, you know what? I'd like to weigh in on the conversation, but he's Kay and Joe show on Twitter about a year ago because Dan was criticizing Kentucky basketball. Well, I don't love Kentucky basketball. I think John Calipari does a good job coaching. I think he does a great job recruiting as well. But I don't love him. I'm an IU guy. I've seen what Kentucky's done over the years. I know they win, but sometimes they don't win the right way. But having said that, I weighed in on the conversation on Twitter, and I said, I agree with you about some of the things he's saying, but you have to give Kentucky credit. At least they play a good non-conference schedule, a good, and when I said good, I might have said an upper-level non-conference schedule. And let's face it, folks, they do. And I came back with, it's a lot IU plays. And as a fan, as a basketball person, I like that Kentucky plays a national-level non-conference schedule. And I have been critical in the past about the non-conference schedule of Indiana University, and probably will be again. Sorry, Tom Crean, love to have you on the show. Like you, think you do an excellent job recruiting, but I don't like the non-conference schedule. So he says to me, Kenny, that's not the topic. Don't talk any, stay on the topic or I'm going to block you. Listen to this. A guy I've known for 20 years, on Twitter, he says, that's not the topic. Stay on topic or I'm going to block you. So I think he's kidding with me. I don't know if he's what he's going through in his personal life or if he's, you know, ADHD or whatever and didn't take his medicine that day. I don't know. So I come back and I think he's kidding me and I said, Double B. What are you talking about? You got to admit, IU's non-conference schedule's not very good. And he says, I warned you, you're blocked.
Wow.
So he blocks me, Joe. He blocks not only me, but he blocks the Coach K and Joe show on Twitter.
Wow.
We can't post on his.
So, I can.
So we're going through Indianapolis. And my brother Don says, you ought to send him a tweet. And I said, I can't. He blocked me. And he says, well, send him an email.
It's Dan at 1070 The Fan, and tell him to stop being the Twitter Nazi. You know the soup Nazi on Seinfeld?
Oh, yeah.
He says, go ahead and send him an email and say, Dan, quit being the Twitter Nazi and let me back on. So I said, hey, that's a good idea. He'll know that I'm kidding with him. I'm trying to make up. So I send Dan Dockage an email. We are on the north side of Indianapolis, actually head towards Lebanon, Indiana. And I'm writing this email. My brother Ed's in the front seat. My brother Don's driving. Ed did not find any of this as humorous as Don and I did. So I send the email, and I basically say, hey, Double D, really, could you unblock me on Twitter? I want to weigh in on the conversation. I'm listening to your show. It's a great show. Don't be the Twitter Nazi or the Nazi Twitter man. Give me a break here. And I send it to him. You know, here's a guy I've known for 20-plus years. Seasonally, sometimes we're closer than others. We haven't talked a whole lot, but he's mentioned me. I've called his show before in the way past. And so within 15 seconds of me sending this email, we're driving through towards the Lebanon overpass, and Double B gets on his show and says, hey, I get this email. This guy was my friend, Kenny Schultheis, for years. He was my friend, like was past. And then all of a sudden he got this show, started doing this show, and he wouldn't say the name of the show. The Coach K. Joe Show. He wouldn't say the name of the show. He used to coach at Jasper. He was the coach at Jasper, and we used to be friends, or we were friends, something like that. And he got this show, and now he's been a jackass to me. Tweeting stuff. So I blocked him.
Wow.
I didn't want to play this,
but I don't know if the budget's being strained by the Dan Dockage show or something, but they haven't podcasted a show since July. So that's the reason why we can't play it for you, because for some reason, since July, they have not podcasted anything for their show.
Well, if you ever listen to the show routinely, and I just listen to it once in a while, I do like some of his guests, and sometimes Dan can be very entertaining. Don't let your kids listen to it. It can be pretty vulgar at times. Dan, whatever mood he's in that day, he'll let the jackasses and all kinds of stuff fly. But having said that, so I'm listening to this, and I hear it, and my brother Donnie starts laughing and turns around and says, he talks about your email and high-fives me. And my brother Ed just has this look of horror on his face. Like, did he just call Coach K a jackass? So I quickly send out another email, and I said, Double D, still friends? I'm not trying to be mean. I was just trying to be funny and heal the relationship. I defend you all the time. Give me a break. Give me absolution. And then he's coming back from a break, and you know how they'll do a commercial. They'll come back in with just a snippet from the show or him saying something, and then they go to the next commercial. They come back, and he's saying, what is this? What is this stuff? I don't need you to defend me. I don't need your defending. And I'm just cracking up. I'm like, I can't believe that Double B, Danny Doggett, first of all, will not recognize the name of the Coach K and Joe Show. Is on my case like that. So, Joe, here's what happens. Within 5 minutes, I get a phone call. And another one of my brothers, Jim, who lives in Indianapolis, says, Kenny, what's going on? I just got like five phone calls from people saying, what happened with Dan Dockage and your brother? He's ripping your brother on his show. What's the name of your brother's show? He says your brother has his own show. What is it? And so Jim's telling him what the show is. So, Joe, if he just would have said, this guy, Ken Schultheis, used to coach at Jasper, was a friend of mine. He got this show, the Coach K and Joe Show, and he's been acting like a jackass to me. Man, that would have given us some critical publicity up in the Indianapolis area.
Oh yeah, it would have been great for us. But you know, it's funny because I know I've been getting Facebook and text messages asking what he said, and I told people to listen, find out. So
it was classic. And you know, I'm just going to say this: Dan talks. You know, Dan does a lot of things. Dan's always saying, "I don't have an agenda. I don't have an agenda. I don't have an agenda." He has an agenda. His agenda is ratings. And, you know, if I could help him just a little bit, that's fine. But, Dan, I am your friend, been your friend for 20-plus years. Just because I didn't agree with you, doesn't mean I was being a jackass towards you. So, Dan, come on, Double D. Unblock me on Twitter. If people listening go to Twitter, to Dan Dockage on Twitter, and ask him to unblock the Coach K and Joe Show. Ask him to unblock Ken Schultheis, the Coach K at the Coach K and Joe Show. We can't weigh in on any discussions with him because he blocked us on Twitter. So we had some people from Indianapolis area that were going to tune into the show to find out what's going on. Folks, that's what's going on. Known the guy for 20-plus years, I think he's being a little uppity. He's hit the big time. 1070, the Fan in Indy, took him on to ESPN. I mean, he did have a 3-4 record at IU. I mean, he was ripping on Harry Gonzo and Wayne Radford because they didn't give him a serious interview for the basketball job. Hey, I would have loved to seen my good friend Dan Dockage be the head basketball coach at Indiana University. But I don't know that we need to say Harry Gonzo doesn't know anything he's talking about. But having said that, that's what happened, Joe, on my way to watch the Cubs. And by the way, Dan Dockage is a huge Cubs fan because he's from the region. He's from the region. And I told him, I said, Danny, I'll bring you an old style. I'll bring you an old style from Chicago. And I had an old style while I was up there, Joe. I know an old style is a Wrigley Field Cubs thing, even though I don't even know if they sell. It's really not that good.
Yep, but it's a tradition.
We had a great time. What do you think about that, Joe?
I think that's quite interesting and quite funny. I guess I could tweet him. He has no idea who Joe Milligan is. He knows who Kenny Schultheis is, but has no idea who Joe Milligan is. So I could still tweet him, Coach. But
go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, if you tweet him and you mention that you're Joe from the Coach K and Joe Show, you will be blocked.
Blocked. And my life will be ruined forever, so, oh well. XIU coach, so.
Here's how I'm going to end this. To anyone who does tweet him or sends him an email at dan@1070thefan.com, in my books, he's still my friend. For 20 years, he's been my friend. And just because we don't agree on something or just because he does something underhanded or just because he said I was being a jackass to him, that wasn't nice, Danny. You're still my friend, buddy, and hopefully you'll unblock me on Twitter. This is almost like the Oprah deal and the talk show guy, Dave Letterman. It's kind of like the Dave Letterman-Oprah deal, where Oprah got mad at Dave Letterman, and then Dave Letterman kept trying to get her to come on the show, and she wouldn't do it, and finally she did. Well, Danny, we'd love to have you on the show. We'd love to talk college sports with you and things like that. But
That's where it's at, Joe. That's what that's how my trip to Wrigley Field started, as I was moving through through Indianapolis towards the Lebanon, Indiana overpass.
Well, should have been interesting. Should have been real interesting. So, hey, Coach, I do have one thing I want to touch on, if you don't mind. I'm a big Bengal fan. I love the Cincinnati Bengals, but they did something this week that made me very proud to be a Cincinnati Bengal fan. Coach Marvin Lewis and the Brown family, who the Brown family always takes a lot of heat, the owners of the Bengals, they kept defensive tackle Devon Still on the practice squad this year instead of cutting him because they wanted to help pay for his daughter's cancer treatment. And I just thought that was an unbelievably great thing for them to do. I mean, to keep him on there even instead of cutting him, because they knew that they knew what that position meant to him, even if it was just on the practice squad, that it was going to be able to help him pay for his daughter's cancer treatment. And there's so many bad things in sports, and I wanted to call out Marvin Lewis and the Brown family and just tell them how proud I am as a Bengal fan of what they did.
You know, Joe, that's good stuff. You know, that's not just good stuff. That's great stuff. That's when an organization, the leadership at the top of an organization that really has been maligned over the years, and I think it has changed the last few years, 3 to 5 years in Cincinnati. It's changing at the top as far as just clearer thinking. That's when a corporation, and I'm talking about not just an NFL corporation, I'm talking about businesses and places you work, that's when you care about the people that work for you or have come in the door, and maybe they're not going to stay for long. Maybe they're not going to work out long term, but you really show you care about them as people. And that's when I don't feel near as bad about paying the ticket price or the drink price or the food price, knowing that the guys at the top of an organization like that care enough to see the bigger picture. And the bigger picture, more than the Cincinnati Bengal football team, more than the bottom line, because that gentleman, that particular person and his situation are not really going to affect either of those situations. But they see the bigger picture with the individual. And what they decided to do will truly change the direction, the stress level, the way they wake up each morning and go to bed at night, more than they could ever understand, because they've at least got that helping them to get through this awful, awful situation. Those are the great stories in sports that we don't hear enough of. You know, coaches and general managers and teams, they get maligned a lot, and a lot of times they deserve it. They really deserve it. But these are the kind of stories. Joe, thank you for bringing that. And, folks, go out and see a Cincinnati Bengals game. Buy a Cincinnati Bengal jersey. Buy an extra hot dog or Coke or beer at the park, whatever it might be, because the Bengals were willing to see the bigger picture for the individual, for somebody who became a part of their family, even if it's for a short time. That's great stuff, Joe.
Yeah, it made me very proud to be a Bengal fan, and I'm excited to see the Bengals take down the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore this Sunday. So,
yeah, good luck to them. I know our buddy Kurt Duxell said the heck with Seahawks and Packers last night. I want to see Patriots and Dolphins. I'm going to tell you something, Kurt. If you're listening, you do not want to see Patriots and Dolphins, because your Fins, they're finless. They're not going to hurt anybody. They're like a carp fish. They're going to jump a little bit, but they're not going to do anything. So that's what I got to say about that. Couple things, Joe, before I turn the end of the show over to you. I want to thank, again, Lantern Road Capital Partners for the coach's line, for our guests today. They're financial partners to help you grow your business. Call Lantern Road Capital Partners. If you've got a business
idea or a business that you need to grow and you need some financial help, traditional way through a bank, if it's good and you're good, give them a call, Lantern Road Capital Partners. Here's the number, 317-576-7543. Don't forget that. And also, I want to mention, I threw this question out there at the top of the hour, folks. I'm going to throw it out there as we get towards the end of the show. Can a Big Ten team get to the championship or Final Four of football this year if they have a loss? A lot of people don't think they can. A lot of people think that the Big Ten as a conference is not good enough. Perception is going to be a problem, folks, and they don't think they can. So you know why that becomes important? Because look at the Michigan State plays Oregon. Number 7 and number 3 hook up. And then you also have Ohio State. They're getting Virginia Tech's coming in. Don't ever count out Frank Beamer in a big game. And Ohio State's still trying to get their quarterback situation taken care of. They didn't look great in their first game. Joe, what do you got as we end this show? Well, what do we got, Joe? About 5 minutes left?
Yes, we have 5 minutes left exactly right now. Got Jasper versus Boonville tonight. You can listen to that live on WITZ 104.7 or online. Just Google search WITZ. And Kurt Guxell, our buddy Kurt Guxell, our Dolphin fanatic, Kurt Guxell will be doing the Southridge Forest Park game tonight on WBDC 100.9. You can also listen to that on the World Wide Web. Just search for WBDC, and you can listen to that. And there are a lot of other great games. Coach, what college games are you like focusing on this week? What are the other than the Michigan State game? What are you focusing on?
I'm going to zero in, of course, on Michigan State, and I want to watch Notre Dame and Michigan. I was really impressed with Everett Golson's return to the Irish, and I just want to see how far that was go. I'm torn, though, Joe, because I like Brady Hoke as a coach. I do think he's a much better coach than he's getting credit for. Recruiting's everything. Timing's everything, and he's hit a wall there. Joe, let me hit two more things. One, the Aaron Gordon situation. He was ruled ineligible on the appeal to Cathedral. Commissioner Bobby Cox told me that it was clearly blatant athletic interference on that one. At least that's how the IHSA saw it. So he has not been ruled eligible. They can. I'm hearing they can appeal to the Board of Education. I wish the Board of Education would stay out of that. If he wants to go to Cathedral and get an education in the classroom, that's fine. But as far as the basketball court is concerned, the IHSA has ruled him ineligible, and I know they did their work. Indianapolis is out of control on that stuff, AAU and all that, and we're going to have an AAU show coming up here real soon. I see good, and I see some struggle in both of it. And then also, Joe, I had a text message asking me what's going on with Jaquan Lyle and Oregon. Folks, I don't know other than Jaquan Lyle. It doesn't look like he's eligible, that maybe there are some academic questions and that he will not be eligible at Oregon. I think that the red flag was when I found out he had not reported to Oregon yet. So I don't think he'll be an Oregon Duck this year, but I don't know for sure. I'm not putting Jaquan Lyle down, folks. I'm just saying that academically he may not be qualifying for whatever reason. All right, Joe, it's all yours, buddy.
Okay, as I always say, and as you talked about, and you and Bill Somm talked about, you know, attend a high school football game, a tennis match, volleyball match, there's a soccer match, cross country, et cetera. You know, some of those are free, but the most you're going to pay to get into any of those things is $5 a person. And, you know, for the value for family entertainment, you know, take your family to the movies and see if you can get in for $5. You're not going to get to do it. So, for Coach K, I'm Joe saying we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by
Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today.
see you next week.